bless. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Tyson. This is
Mike. Please call me Mike.
Mike, my name's Asif Khan. I'm CEO, editor in chief at Shaq News.
Asif Khan.
Asif.
Yeah. Asif. Okay.
Yeah. Asif. I'm from Ohio. I live in Canton, Ohio.
I know a Canton, man. I used to live in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's right. You used to live in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, and in Youngstown too.
Yeah, back when you had that tiger.
Yeah.
So how are
tigers over there in that area?
There are a lot of tigers up here. Have you been watching that Tiger King?
Yeah, but Ohio got the most tigers out of all the states, I think. A lot of people don't know that. They have a lot of hidden tiger sanctuaries there. Mm-hmm.
So we are we're here with Mike Tyson, Iron Mike, the one of the baddest that ever entered the squared circle. I grew up watching you box back in the day. I played the NES, Tyson's Punch-Out. Like, that is, I remember when they put it on the Nintendo Switch, you were like, hey, I'm not in this game. What's up with that? I have to agree with you. The true Punch-Out is the one where you're the final boss, right?
Hey, listen, we're going to start our own Punch-Out game and our own Tyson Ranch Punch-Out computer game, and we're going to just bring it back to life, man.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought up Tyson Ranch. Let's talk about this. You have gotten involved in the bull market that is growing marijuana in America. Like, you actually invested heavily in this. What do you think how do you feel, like, just from a perspective of an entrepreneur, the opportunity of marijuana in America right now?
I think this is the opportunity of a lifetime for me to improve myself as a human being in America and around the world by showing that I could also be a fighter and an entrepreneur, and from an athletic perspective, and jump into the business realm as well. And that's something I'm looking forward to improving to all of my critics and to all of my supporters, that I'm going to succeed in this field just as well as I succeeded in sports. And that is the goal that I want to do. And by doing that, I want to be able to contribute to the people who are less fortunate to be in the situation that I am, and people who are in the situation that I was once in. I'm talking about the homeless and the drug affected and addicted. And I'm a strong exponent for that cause.
Yeah, you know, because I think you were very young when you found wealth, and so many things were thrown at you at that point. Obviously, you may have made some mistakes in your life, but I think what's been really inspiring in your watching you grow up as an adult has been just how you really do try to teach people lessons. Even your one man show that you did, I thought was super educational, just about life experience and how to learn.
Well, yes, you know, I look at my life that way, brother. I look at my life as if I'm a teacher. And every time I believe that I'm a teacher, I realize that I'm starting to learn. So that's why, even though I believe sometimes I'm an idiot, I go into life as a teacher, because that by doing that, I start to learn.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's beautiful. You know, one thing that I'm a Muslim American. I grew up taught Islam. You learned Islam while you were kind of transitioning. How has Islam changed your life?
Well, listen, that's not true. I was a Muslim before I went to that prison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That I didn't just make it a big thing. They sure made it a big thing when I started going to the mosque, and they, hey, Mike Tyson, and they just messed it up. They didn't
wasn't correctly. So you were already, while you were boxing and wrecking people, you were already?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's frequent I think that's frequently misreported about you then. That,
yes.
Oh, okay. So no, that's great to hear. So that philosophy, it feels like you've broadened that to a lot of what you do post boxing.
I don't know. I just know I am nothing and Allah is God. Mm-hmm. And that's all I need to know. That is just all I need to know. That in my prayers. Anything else is insignificant. That is just truly all I need to know.
That's amazing. This is such an honor to get to speak to you about so many different topics. You are one of the legendary athletes of all time, but you're also hilarious. you know, you've done some comedy acting and all these other things. What do you want to do right now? Like, you know, what is, you know, what were the plans for 2020 that you're kind of stuck at home right now, not doing? Like, what did you have coming up? Like, what was your aspiration for this year?
Well, this year I started to embark on a humanitarian cause. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I'm 55 years old, 54, going to be 55 shortly. And I realized that I'm not going to be here much longer. And when I'm not here, I want people to know I was here.
Yeah. So exactly which causes are you tackling? Do
you know, drug inflicted and the homeless. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's other causes, but those are my main causes right there.
Yeah, and when it comes
to reform, is also a cause of mine. Mm-hmm. It's a strong cause. Marijuana and reform is also a great cause. You know, and I'm just very grateful that people are interested in hearing my, you know, my side of the story on these issues.
And you know, regarding marijuana, because you're talking about helping people who are addicted to maybe opioids or other things, marijuana can help people get off of much more addictive and dangerous drugs, right?
I'm a strong believer in that. And most of the people who are involved in the cannabis business pretty much entrenched themselves in the cannabis business because of that. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing big business and the medical field, they have to eventually start in giving some kind of input to the fact that it's killing the society and it has to stop.
Yeah, you know, I think in Ohio, I think it was either the city of Cleveland or the state of Ohio, they sued some drug companies over being liable because
they should sue the drug company, and the drug company should pay the massive fortunes they've been paying because
they're just sitting there selling.
Right.
They're sitting there selling these drugs, knowing that people are ODing on them, and they know the numbers. They know how many people lived in the state in Ohio. And they looked at how many prescriptions there were, and it didn't even add up. So it's like,
well, to some people, dead people's good business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? To some people, that's right. And
dead business, dead and inflicted with addiction is big business.
That's amazing. But yeah, so no, you're focused on marijuana as a way to help people out here, for yourself personally. Have you used it for physical rehabilitation or mental rehabilitation?
Definitely physical and emotional. Yes. Mm-hmm. If emotional fits in the spiritual and the mental realm, yeah, mental as well.
Back when you were boxing, were you doing it, or were you totally
at the end of my career? Yes.
Okay, but like when you were just wrecking people, Mike. When you were knocking people out in like 20 seconds, that was just fire, right? You weren't smoking back
then. I wasn't smoking marijuana, but I was I don't know. I was a full blown alcoholic.
Okay. So you were partying?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I wasn't partying, I was addicted.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I wasn't partying. No.
Okay, it was beyond
partying. I thought I was partying, but then when I sized up the situation, I wasn't partying, I was just addicted.
Got it. Wow. No, I love your clarity on looking back at yourself now and your honesty, and it's really refreshing to hear someone that.
But it's funny that you said that because I always thought I was partying.
Yeah, when you're doing it,
when you make that assessment, you're partying. I believed I was partying, but I was by myself.
Yeah, but at the same time, you were young and you were successful. Yeah. So
I was by myself when I was doing it, so I wasn't partying.
Okay, I hear you. That's interesting. That's a really good point. And it's like it was like a lonely kind of success, right?
Yeah, but I thought I was partying though. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? I thought by myself drinking, I thought I was fucking partying.
Yeah, you're like, I'm having a great time, but you're really just
absolutely
alone.
It's delusional.
It is. It's a cognitive dissonance that occurs around drug use.
Alcohol is really a psychedelic too.
Uh-huh.
It's in the psychedelic family. When you drink enough, you start seeing things.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you think that's? I feel like any drug done in excess can cause hallucinations.
No doubt about that.
I don't know about any of those other hallucinogens, but I'm just saying. I think that's kind of the case. You know, I'm kind of curious, just because we're in this shutdown, we're in this quarantine. You're one of the most iconic athletes
on Earth.
Sports. Do you think that we're gonna come back anytime soon, like we did? Because you think about,
listen. And this place is bigger than us. If all of us died, we'd still come back.
Yeah.
There'd still be something left and come back. You know what I mean? It's going to be over, but we have to look at the fact like this. You know, this stuff is bigger than us.
Yes.
So why do we have to worry?
But it's interesting. If it's something
that we can handle, then we should worry. But we can't do anything, so why do we worry?
But here's my question, I didn't think I was going to have a chance to talk to someone who's made millions of dollars off of being an amazing athlete. But because of the whole economy around the tickets, the pay-per-view, the arenas, the bars, everything around it. Like, look at what LeBron James makes. Look at what these players make. Right now, no one is playing any ball right now. And, like, you look at what's going on, like, what people are really spending money on. It's toilet paper, it's healthcare, it's Nintendo Switches. Like, have we maybe seen a peak for what we're going to value these people at? Like, what we're going to value, like, what we're going to value, like, the NFL at? Or, you know, like, because if we can't get people into the stadiums, how are we going to pay everyone? You know what I mean?
I understand that, too, but I'm sure the way we can do it. But listen, if we're in a serious pandemic and it's the end of the world, last thing I'm going to be thinking about is wiping my ass.
The last thing. I mean,
I'm not really thinking about wiping my ass when I take a dump and it's the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's other ways.
What's the first thing you think about, Mike?
Excuse me?
What's the first thing you think about?
Just being with the people you love when it's going down.
Yeah, family.
When it's over, when you want to be around the people that you love the most.
Yep. You're right. Family.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. So I wanted to change it up a little bit and talk about esports. And I was curious, Mike, what is your passion and reasoning for kind of taking stake with F2K, and how do you feel about esports?
Hey, listen, I always support them. I'm a big fan of them, and I'm really intrigued with how they came from a real insignificant entity to a massive force to be reckoned with. And so I'm just watching the growth of this and seeing where this is going to go and seeing how far I'm going to be involved with this stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a specific thing you like about esports? Is there, like, a game you like to follow, like to play yourself?
Well, I love playing myself, yeah. I really enjoy playing myself, but I don't think anyone can do it better than I can do it.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And is there anything, you know, talking about COVID and how everything shut down, is there anything you're specifically doing to get back into shape? Or
hey, that's
what
I've
is your
been
focus
doing.
On health?
That's what I've been doing is working out and getting into shape. And as far as COVID, COVID is COVID. I'm just living in the time of COVID. There's nothing I can do about it. It's COVID.
That's fair.
Makes sense. No, it's
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, keep going, Kat. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, is there a favorite memory of boxing, especially, you know, now that we're considering kind of the past and how privileged we were? Is there a favorite memory in boxing specifically that you have, Mike?
Yeah. Roberto Duran defeating Davey Moore in Madison Square Garden, 1983, June 16th.
Dang.
I love the specification, yes.
Well, were you there?
I was 17 years old. Around 83. I was 17 years old, and my mentor Customato was very popular with the people in New York, and he sent me down there and said, "My boy's coming down there. Make sure he has the ticket." They gave me a ticket. I watched it. I was crying. It was so much excitement.
Yeah.
And after that, I said, "I can't wait till it's my turn to be champion. Everybody's watching me."
And I mean, Madison Square Garden is one of the
Nothing like it. There's nothing like it. You see all the Panamanian and Latin fighters, they all got their chains and their fancy silk shirts. They look beautiful. Their hair is all slicked back. And I think, God, I can't wait till I get into that category one day.
Yeah,
the girls are looking incredible. Oh man, it's just man. When you be around the fight in Madison Square Garden, around all the Latinos, man, it's that you can't explain it. But man, it's just ecstasy. It's just so many things of splendor going on in that moment of feeling. Man, I can't even explain. You can't even articulate it.
It sounds like, you know, like kind of a corollary, like when LeBron went to Miami. Those crowds during the finals, they were like kind of crazy and hype over there.
Listen, you don't know a fight crowd in Madison
Square Garden. Oh, no, that's right. You're right.
They're crying, man. It's tears, man.
You're right.
Latinos are gone, man. You ain't never seen anything like that, man.
That's awesome. No, I love it. I love that your favorite boxing memory isn't one of your fights. It's
no
someone
way,
else's.
Man, no way.
You're like, I got hit in those
idols. I like watching my idols.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, also, I find health really important, and especially with COVID, it's a little bit harder to kind of, you know, maybe stay as healthy as we used to be. Is there anything
you do,
Mike?
Why do you say that? I'm as healthy as I've ever been in any time in my life right now, just a second.
I feel a lot of people, you know, they can still kind of order out or get takeout and stuff. Is there anything that you specifically do in order to make sure your nutrition's on point?
No, I just work out every day. I just live life like I've been living it before we were in this situation. You know, I don't go outside and get too, intertwined with people because I got to be, I can't be too selfish because I'm around people, I'm around older people. So I pretty much hang around people that pretty much I hang around with every day. Mm-hmm. So we all get it together if we have it.
So
is there anything in terms of nutrition that you would tell the youth or anybody that would be listening what's important to you, like aside from, you know, staying hydrated and such?
What's important to me? Don't know. I like to help other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Me buying a lot of cars for myself, that don't turn me on that much no more. Mm-hmm. I want to see some other people smile. I get off helping other people, seeing them smile or seeing them help give some food to them. I get off that way. I don't know. It's erotic to me to help somebody. I don't know. I'm a weird dude.
I love it. I love that it's erotic to help other people. That's the most beautiful thing, Mike, because like you've gotten to the point where, you know, you can have whatever, but it's like, what's the point? There's no – you realize that happiness doesn't come from material possessions. Right, and that
yeah, but you can have everything materially and not have self-respect.
And I think like what you're saying is that you're getting happiness from helping other people more than
because I don't get it from helping me.
Yeah,
for some reason, for me buying myself a new car, buying myself a mansion, a plane, I still don't work. It still doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm a self-made, you know, entrepreneur. I know what you mean. Like when you buy yourself something, it's not as special as like when I hear about,
you know, people think you're a sucker, but they don't know that you have an addiction. You're a sickness. They think you're a sucker, but you're not. You just have a sickness. You know, if they told me I was a sucker, I would crush their skull, but I have a sickness.
I would never call you a sucker, Mike.
No, a lot of people think that.
Yeah. No, you know, I have to say, I saw you in that Eminem video recently, and that was cracking me up, man. How was that? I was shooting that.
I loved hanging out with him.
That's amazing.
Incredible, yeah.
Do you guys hang out, like, outside of that? Like,
no, periodically. I see him, like, once every 5 years.
Okay. But that was one of my favorite cameos I've seen from you in a while.
I was just very grateful that he allowed me to be in the video with him.
Oh, that was outstanding. Did you actually land a hit on him there? Was that
no way, man. I would never do that. I love that guy.
He wouldn't have got up, right?
He's awesome. I love him. I would never do that.
Man, I kind of want to ask you just about the UFC and just in general, like fighting in general. Like, have you been watching how entertainment has changed in these like last 10 years? Where what are your thoughts on martial arts and also boxing, like the state of it?
I think it's awesome, and I think martial arts and boxing and MMA, all that stuff has a place, you know. Mm-hmm. It's needed in our society. Mm-hmm. And nobody should compete with anybody else because there's enough room for everyone.
Yeah. No, it's I think like it's not like boxing disappeared. It's just MMA rose, which I think is great. Is there anyone that you look to in the MMA scene that you're like, that's a bad man right there?
Man, there's a lot of guys. Man, listen, Habib is back, John Jones. It's, man, there's just so many good fighters out there, man.
Do you ever think
Cody what Garber, you would... he's a great fighter. There's so many exciting, man. They're out there, man. All those guys out there, they're great.
Do you ever think, like, what you would have been if when you were a teenager, you trained in that space? Or do you think you wouldn't have been as good as these guys?
You never know. You never know. It may not be over yet. Anything's possible.
Okay. Oh, my God. Mike Tyson coming to the UFC after COVID-19 is over. We're breaking that right now, right here.
Yeah, you never know, baby.
Oh, I'm my goodness.
These days. You never know.
I will pay for that pay-per-view. I'll tell you that.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
I'll tell you that right now, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you. This has been such a treat, such an unexpected, delightful treat today to get to talk to the champ here. You know, do you have a fight that you fought that was your favorite?
I don't know. What did I say? Larry Holmes. He was the greatest fight I ever fought.
Okay. That's a solid one. But yeah, you guys were, he was, that was a good one. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I have to say, it was just, there was this period where you were just on fire, you know, and that streak. Did you just feel unstoppable in that period?
Like, well, I feel unstoppable now. I feel like I'm in that streak again.
Okay.
The reenactment of that streak, it came again. The gods of war is reawoken me. They ignited my ego and wanted me to go to war again.
That's amazing. No, I love to hear that from you. It's like, it's so cool because you're still this very extremely driven person, but you have this aura that's super peaceful. You care about animals, like you have all these your core beliefs are very different than being violent, right?
So imagine if I went, I know that's true, but imagine if I went out there and fought and I could help all these people that we're talking about, all these animals that we're talking about. And that's really what it's about, brother.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Oh my goodness. Mashallah. It's so great to talk to you, Mike. So where are you right now?
I'm in Chicago.
Yep. And are you got stuck there? Like you're not able.
No,
to...
I'm here looking at some of our corporations here.
Oh, okay. Man, Chicago's really getting it's been hit very hard by the pandemic, right?
Hey, it looks beautiful out here. You know, everything's closed, but it's just beautiful.
It is weird. It is this weird kind of peaceful serenity where nature is kind of... I saw this video in Cleveland. There were like four deer running on 4th Street. And there's like no one else. Because, it's
listen, it'll get better. Even if we're not here when it does, it's going to get better.
Well, I hope you're here, Mike. And I hope we're all... I hope everyone can... I hope everyone is staying safe. You know, like there's, I think that there's an incentive to go outside now that we're reopening. But I think what's important right now is that not everyone is as healthy as us. Maybe there's people that are at risk that you know or someone else knows.
Well, I've lost quite a few people who were older and sick from the coronavirus.
I'm so sorry.
But they weren't healthy. They were older. They were sick. And but they missed, though. They still missed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, guys, we're slick to wrap this up in the next 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm just going to get in one more question here, Mike. Sure, okay. Appreciate your time, too. I really do.
Thank you.
So what are you playing any games right now? You played Angry Birds and all those different types of games.
Well, I've played Angry Birds before with my wife. And I'm still pretty much with the fights and the shooting videos and stuff.
Awesome. You know, and did you ever beat
Modern Warfare and all that stuff?
Did you ever beat Punch Out? Did you ever play to that extent?
I really did really bad in that.
You're hard to beat in it.
Well,
you're very difficult in that game, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I realized that as well.
So, Mike, how many pets do you have right now?
I have some pigeons and I have a dog named Mars.
What kind of dog?
He's a Labrador. Doodle, poodle.
So my dog's been sitting on my lap this whole time, Mike. I don't know if you...
Excuse me?
My dog's been sitting on my lap this whole time.
Oh, what is that dog? What's the name of him again?
Lola.
Panorama?
Yeah, little Pomeranian.
Pomeranian.
And you do racing pigeons, right, Mike?
No, rolling pigeons.
Oh, okay. How many do you have?
Quite a few.
That's amazing.
Over 100.
Well, Mike, where can we find more about Tyson Ranch, by the way, before
go to TysonRanch.com.
Awesome. You're a legend.
Check me out on Hot Boxing. It's the state-of-the-art, first-in-its-kind, cannabis resort-friendly love bug.
Mike Tyson, you are a legend. You are a gentleman.
Well, thank you. I've been called worse.
It is an honor to have spoken with you over the internet through a series of tubes, sir. Thank you so much, Kat Gunn, for joining me.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
I'm Asif Khan.
Appreciate everything you do.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you so much. And that's a wrap, right? I will stop.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Holy, what the hell just happened?